Good evening.
Good evening.
All right, we're going to settle down here. We've had at least 15 minutes of pre-class. But as usual, we will start the class with good news. And the good news I have for you tonight, you've heard all your life, but we're going to talk about it tonight so that it really gets into our being, so that it gets into our consciousness, so that we really understand what it means. And the good news is this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, what does that mean to most people? It means Jesus. Well, I am here to tell you that God so loved the world that he gave his begotten sons and daughters to the world. You have to know that. You have to know that God so loved this world and so loved you that you're here because of that. And yes, we had one man that expanded his consciousness and became a master because he listened to what he was saying and he was able to do that. And he had a lot more faith than most of us have. The other week, last week we said, you know, you only have to have to make a miracle. You only have to have the faith of a mustard seed. God doesn't ask you to have tons and tons of faith. God asks you to have the faith of a mustard seed. Any shift you're doing in consciousness is only a little half a degree, and the whole thing changes. As soon as I changed your little thing, didn't your consciousness change immediately? You see, it doesn't take a great deal to do this. So give up that idea that it's going to take forever, that you've got to work on it and learn so much in this, that, and the other thing. No, that isn't the way it works. The way it works is to realize that you are a begotten son of this thing that we call God, that you're absolutely part of the universe, that you're absolutely one with God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. Once you know that, then you have to realize that you have qualities to be able to create. That you can create your reality. That you create your life. The mass consciousness that we have out there, race mind that we have out there, the collective consciousness, whatever you want to call it, that we have, is what has made this world. And that's the thinking that's going on. We don't have to buy in to that. We can live in our own universe and create our own reality. But we always have to start with the idea that we are absolutely connected to this thing that we call God. And that God so loved the world, so loved us, that he put us here in this magnificent place. This magnificent place. You can look at all the universe, and so far we haven't found any place that is as beautiful as this planet that we live on. We just haven't found it. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but I'm saying look around you and see all the beauty and all the wonderful things that God has given us to use and to live in. Look at those tulips on the table there. Look how beautiful they are. Remember, a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. Cannot be hostile. So we start with that premise that we are here because this thing called God loved us so much and loved this world so much that it created, that it wanted us to enjoy it. Isn't that something? To enjoy this planet. To enjoy this life that we're having. That's a wonderful, wonderful gift to know. So, when you're doing anything, when you're trying to get your 25,000, you have to know that you are here, and that because you're here, and because you're one with this God, God now has to support you. God is the Father. God is the only source of your well-being, the only source of your supply. So you go to that source and you say, I am now ready. I am now open, ready, and willing. I have stretched my consciousness. I have built my container. Now fill it with the 25,000 or more. And then we will stretch my container and stretch my container. And your container will stretch. But it starts with that premise always, that we are one with this thing that we call God. Now, once we know that we're connected with this wonderful thing that we call God, a client of mine the other day, and I'm going to try to get it, she said she'd email it to me, but she hasn't, and it was a little thing about God being a wonderful artist, and God creates masterpieces, and each one of us is a masterpiece, and we have to realize that. We have to realize, not only are we connected to this thing, we are a masterpiece of this thing, and that we have all the qualities that we need to succeed on this plane of action. So, we have to take this little ego mind that we have and train it so that it knows how wonderful and how magnificent we are. So that it always knows that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. We have to do that because we go back to that premise that we're one with God. God put us here because He loved us so much. Now, if that is all true, then I must be worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. But we then are born into this world where a conversation is already going on, and the conversation is already going on is, you are separate from God, you are lower than the worms of the earth, and you certainly don't deserve anything. So you have to say, that's a bunch of twaddle. There's no truth to it whatsoever. This magnificent thing that we call God or the universe or the cosmic power or whatever you want to call it would not do that type of thing. And then you argue with your mind so that your mind says yes to you. You must never allow your mind to say no to you. Anything. There are no limitations in the universe. There is no limitation in the mind of God. And we all live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So we are unlimited people. But our little small mind says to us, you can't do that. Here's the limit. It's always putting a limit on us. Anytime you think there's a limit, you must go through that limit. You must break that limit for your own good. Otherwise, you will grow old and fearful. And so many people have grown old and fearful. And the older people get, the more fear they seem to have. Because they think the world is going to pot. They think wars are coming. Criminals are knocking at the door. This is happening, that's happening. Have you ever been to an older person's home that's loaded with fear? They have that many bars and stuff and locks and stuff on their door. You could never get in or out of the place if there was an emergency. But they sit there in complete fear. First of all, you can have no fear. You cannot say, I am one with God, and then be fearful of something. You cannot say that. Because God is always good. Everywhere manifest. Everywhere manifest is good. So where does the fear come in? From our little ego mind. Because there's nothing in this universe God created. Nothing. Nothing harmful. Nothing harmful. There's nothing that can harm us except our little ego mind, which tells us, you've got to be afraid of the next door neighbor because they have a gun, or they have this, or they have that. These are the things that you have to watch with your thinking so that you can always realize that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. And with that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay!
Woohoo!
The
you have a beautiful new smile and aura around you. You've changed your thinking about yourself, haven't you? Yes. And it all comes from that. You have to change your mind about yourself. You know, I have said this. If you're not getting what you want, you have to get a bigger, better God. That means your God's not big enough if you're not getting what you want. So you kick that God out and you get a bigger, better God. Now, if you're still not getting what you want, it's because you don't have a bigger, better image of yourself. And you have to get a bigger, better image of yourself. You have to know that you're worthy, that you can make $25,000 or more a year, that you can make $25,000 or more a week, a day, a minute. Now, there are people who do that. We just talked about Oprah, and she's a billionaire. I'm sure she makes over $25,000 a minute. You see? So you have to know that those things are possible. And when those things are possible, for one, they have to be possible for everybody. Because this thing that we call God shows no favorites. And when I used to go to a brand name church, we used to sing different little hymns and so forth. And wasn't the one hymn that we sang, "What God has done for others, God can do for me"? But we forget that, don't we? You see? So that's why we always, when somebody does something, we applaud them. And we say, "Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I'm delighted for you. I'm so happy for you." Because if they can do it, you can do it. But what do most people say? "Oh, well, how did they get there? I'll never get there." Whatever it is. But you don't. You have to applaud people. Always applaud yourself and applaud other people. And say, "My goodness, if they can do it, I can do it." Because we always have this going on. There's always enough for everybody. You're never taking the good away from you. Because Oprah, if she would have said, "Oh, there are already so many billionaires, I can never be a billionaire because all the money is with them." But she didn't say that, did she? And she made $1 billion. You see, money just is made all the time. We create money all the time. Anytime that money isn't there, we create it. We create it. I worked years ago in Cherokee, North Carolina, and I did an outdoor drama called "Under These Hills" by the Cherokee Indians. And one of the lines, they were getting the Indians off the mountains or wherever they were, and shipping them to Oklahoma. And they were paying them. And the lieutenant says to the general, "We've run out of money. There isn't enough money." And the general said, "Then we'll just have to get more. Then we'll just have to get more." Now, how many times have you heard our government and other governments, and that money, where does the money come from? We just make it. We just make it. I often say that to myself. "Well, then we'll just have to get more." Wasn't it your friend who said they were going to build the big temple? The Maharishi was going to build the big temple.
This big celebration.
Yes, and they said to him, "Well, we don't have any money. Where are we going to get the money?" And he said, "Where it is now, from where it is now." And you just get it from where it is now. We don't know where the money is now. You know, every time you use your credit card, there's no money there. You create money every time you use your credit card. The money's not sitting there waiting for you to use the credit card. You use the credit card and the money is created. You see? So we just create money all the time.
Along with the debt.
Yes, yes. Of course.
Two things are created.
Right, but it didn't. The money did not exist.
That's right.
Before you used the credit card. A lot of people think, "Oh, that money's there waiting for me." No, it's not there. The same way when they send you those things and say, you know, "Your credit limit's $5,000. You say, "Oh, they have $5,000 sitting there for you." They don't have $5,000 sitting there for you. There's no $5,000 till you start to use it. Then it creates itself. So money just creates itself. So, anyway, back to the thing. You have to know that you're connected and that God is your source. Now, Jim earlier tonight said, oh, this fell out of escrow, that fell out of escrow. We don't get upset about those things. Why don't we get upset about those things? Because that is not the source of your supply. That happens to be a channel at the present moment. But when you know that God is the source of your supply, you are going to get the money from somewhere. It does not have to come through that source. But we say, that fell through, so that money's gone. I'll never get that again. That whole deal fell through. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No. You have to say, oh, well, the source of my supply is God, so a new channel is opening right here and right now for that supply to come to me, and I'm not going to get nervous, upset about this at all. You see, you have to know that. Do you want to tell about, or I'll tell about you with the IRS?
Oh, the IRS.
The man called, and Reva called me then.
The man?
Well, I got a register. I got a notice for a registered, you know, pickup. And, you know, on the little slip it says where it's from the IRS. So my mind immediately said, oh, there goes all the money. And I'm thinking,
they're coming to get you.
Wait a minute, I've always paid my taxes. I'm not hiding anything. What? So I called Dallas. I called a couple of other people, did my reach out calls, and then I actually let it go. I didn't lose any sleep. And I went down to the post office the next day, and it was a bill that my accountant had missed for $175. So I called him, and I said, okay, and now look at everything else, and am I clean? He goes, oh, you're just fine. I said, you know, you guys are always so nice. He said, oh, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. And I said, but why did you send a registered letter? He said, well, because we'd sent you a notice in April, and you didn't call. And I said, oh, because I didn't get it. I said, so I'm really glad you sent this registered letter. Otherwise, they would have levied the account, and then there's more penalties and interest. So I was happy they sent a registered letter after he said that, because right. If they go in and take your bank account, there's all kinds of charges.
But when I left a message for you, the few things that I remember saying, which I would say in any situation like that, is, first of all, let's know that you're working with decent people. They're not out to get you. And whatever the bill is, you have the money to pay for it. You see, and they're not going to take all your money. $175. She had the money to pay for it. It's gone. It's clear. But we get all so upset. Now, why did I know that? Because I know that God is the source of the supply. The IRS has nothing to do with anything, and Reba has nothing to do with anything. So my mind is able to do that. And if my mind is able to do that, your mind is able to do that. You see, when I do treatment work or any of that type of thing, all I do is hold that in my mind. You see, I hold that image in my mind. Why does that work? Because it's a holographic universe. And what's known in one spot in mind must be known in all spots in mind. So if I know it and I hold it, it has to come. It has to come true. Now, it comes faster if I can get more people in on it. But I don't tell more people because I'm going to get people say, no, it can't be done. So I just hold it myself. When I do monthly work for people who want me to work monthly, they say, oh, how do you do that? And I just hold that in my mind as already done. And I see them as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. You know, there's no big mystery to any of this. I'm not a mystery person. Go ahead.
And I want to add to that, that's why when you see a practitioner, that's their job.
Yes.
You guys study all of that.
Yes.
That's where, you know, having that spiritual coach, you know, like I see Dallas every other week, is so able to get me hooked in. And when I'm not, he is. Or whomever you see.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's just like, wow.
Yes. Because I train myself to be able to do that, to hold things. I train myself to be able to listen. See. So I can tell what's going on right away from a conversation. I know exactly what's going on.
I gotcha. I'm sorry. What did you...
What?
I don't know. What did I just say? Like you, right?
But you have to learn to catch yourself. And that's all this is about, is learning protect yourself. See? All right, let me do a quick race mind thing that I heard. And it's all about this Paris Hilton.
Oh.
And it was some commentator on the radio saying, well, all teenagers get into trouble. And she's a teenager. I don't know how old she is.
27 years old.
Oh, well, the woman said, you know, all teenagers get into trouble. Now, that is absolutely race mind.
Yep.
All teenagers do not get into
right.
trouble. And it, we could erase that immediately by not using that anymore.
Yep.
You see? We're the ones that are creating that by saying all teenagers get into trouble. I didn't get into trouble when I was a teenager. And I did a lot of crazy things. The teenagers do crazy things, but it doesn't mean they have to get into trouble. But if you expect a teenager to get into trouble, they're going to get into trouble. That's the way it works. So if we could erase that from race mind, teenagers wouldn't get into trouble anymore. They wouldn't get into trouble. So that's just a little race mind thing. And I listen for all those on the radio or anywhere I am, I listen. Aha, what's going on out there in race mind? Because that's a whole reality of its own that you don't have to live in, people. You don't have to live in that race mind, you see. You lived in it for a long time, race mind. And race mind told you you weren't worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and that you'd never make $25,000 a year. And you bought into that and said, that must be true because I haven't, and I don't feel very good about myself, and yada, 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 whatever else is going on there. You see, now you've changed your mind about yourself. See? Now your whole life will change. That is the little shift in consciousness. All you have to do is shift an attitude, a viewpoint, an opinion, or a belief. All you have to do is one of those, and the whole thing changes. The whole thing changes. Okay?
Last night, as I was leaving here, somebody, her intention, I understood, she intended to wish me well, but she said, I don't crash.
So you did.
I said, what? She said, don't crash on your motorcycle.
You said, don't say that to me ever again.
And I said, the
universe, race your race.
I said, the universe doesn't hear don't. She said, I said, try, have a happy, safe ride.
Have a happy ride,
a safe ride. Okay. So,
wow.
You know, I heard it and I understood it, but I made the adjustment. For myself, as much as for her.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
And I went, oh, great. Thanks.
If you want to check that out, your ability to do that, all you have to do is watch people and say, when they're picking something up, say, don't drop them.
And they'll drop it?
Yeah.
don't spill your milk.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's like raising children.
Yes.
You tell them not to do something.
Yes.
It's exactly what
right.
they do.
Right.
Don't
you dare say one more word.
Did I tell you last week about the bumper sticker, which said, why do we kill people to show people that it's wrong to kill?
Oh.
Yes,
I only saw it ever. That's the first time I ever saw it.
I've never seen it.
Oh, well, but here, so I was talking to my cousin in Washington, and I said, oh, Dennis, wait till you hear this one. So I did, and he said, well, that Dallas, that's as bad as people who slap their child to teach them not to slap other people. You know, if a child hits somebody, they hit them. Don't hit.
Wow.
And that's all so embedded in race mind.
Yeah.
And people think, you know, so... just have to be alert. It's called being awake.
Yeah.
Most people are not awake. They're just going through this in psychic sleep. And you have to be awake. And once you wake up and you see these things, you don't have to get upset about them. Learn to laugh about them. Learn to do that and say, I'm delighted that I don't live in their universe. And you live in your own universe and you make your own reality. Okay? And tonight's topic, of course, is image. And it's holding an image of yourself. And you have to hold that image of who you want to be. And you have to remember that it's never too late to become the person that you always wanted to be. It's never too late to do that. You can do that an hour, a half an hour, 15 minutes before your transition. So it's never too late to do it. But what we think is, oh, I'm too old now to do that. See, that's race mind. You're never too old to do anything. This thing that we call God does not know time, does not know age. Only we know that. And we only know that because we look at other people. And we think, well, they're aging, therefore I must age. But once you realize that you don't have to do that, you can, if not completely stop the aging process, you can slow it down immensely. You can slow it down immensely. And we're proving that all the time, aren't we? Isn't now they're calling 70 the new 40?
Yeah.
You're saying.
What?
When you're 70 now, you're feeling just as good as people used to feel at 40. So they're slowing down. Those things slow down. So you have to remember that. But you have to get this image of yourself. Who do I want to be? What do I want to project? And you decide that. Don't allow your environment to decide that for you. Or your past history. You see, your past history is just that. It's a history. Then it becomes a story that you keep telling yourself. Get rid of that story. Make up a new story of who you are and who you want to be. And hold that image inside. You see, you want an image of making money. So hold that. But hold the image of yourself worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. That's part of the image, you see. You have to hold what image you have. And most people have no image of themselves whatsoever. They have no image of who they are. Now, if I would ask you who you were, now, John, if I'd ask you who you were, what would you tell me?
Now or?
Yes, now. Point taken.
What did you say Jesus was? What is he? What a God?
Begotten Son.
I think I'm begotten Son of God.
Yes, okay. Good.
That's a long way for me.
Yeah, it is. Most time, when all we think about when we're thinking of ourselves are all the mistakes we made, mm-hmm. all the bad things about us, and all the things we didn't do. Stop doing that to yourself. Think of all the good things that you've done. What you concentrate on, what you focus on, multiplies. So you have to see that. I lived years ago in Utica, New York, in an Italian family, the Brindisis. And Mrs. Brindisi said to me, Dallas, you have to remember, there's always enough good in somebody to cover up the bad. Always enough good in somebody to cover up the bad. And that's what we want to concentrate on, that good. And know that the good that we're doing outweighs any of those things that the mind wants to tell you is wrong about you. It's wrong about you. Don't concentrate on those things. Now, that's the choice that you have. You see, we are never told that. We are never told that we choose the thoughts that we want to think. And we have to realize that. If we're sitting there in a stupor, getting depressed. I just had an email this morning because I already got back from New York. Blah, 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 and I'm so depressed. I typed right back. Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. Depressed. Bunch of crap. You can't get depressed, people. God's not depressed. If you're getting depressed, it's because you're depressing yourself, because you're allowing your mind to torture you. You're allowing your mind to bring up all that garbage. Once you realize that you're not your mind and that you can control your mind, you can get rid of that. And we're all going to have little touches of that. I have little touches of that, and I set myself right down and correct it. Because I don't want to feel that way. And I know that I can choose the way I want to feel. I'm the one that does that. Yes, Jules?
So any of the feelings that you would normally have if you, or not normally, or some of the things in you that are grief and sadness and loss, yeah, I understand that I can change my mind, but where do those things go? If I don't acknowledge them, where do they go?
But they just disappear.
Right.
Because
it's easier to say that you can sit there and go, God, I feel like sad about this. This morning, I was getting ready and I had the TV on, and then I heard that this young little girl that they were looking for left Target and got killed by this guy. And I'm like, I just started crying because I'm like, oh my gosh, she goes to Target to buy a present and she's dead within, an hour. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how sad that was for her family. Her family that's here. How tortured they must be to know that was her last moment of violence. And then I just got sad for them, I cried, and then I said, okay, I need to move on with my day.
Yes.
However, those feelings just came over me.
Yes.
I didn't think about them, didn't go, I want to cry today. It just was this feeling of sorrow
all right.
for them.
Let me address this.
Okay. First of all, don't watch the TV.
Exactly. That was the first mistake. That was your first mistake right there, because what you're going to find on the television or any of the radio, television, all that stuff is race mind.
Right.
And it's always going to be sensational. And it always wants to jerk your emotions around. And you allowed it to jerk your emotions around. Now, what you do in a case like that, first of all, you have to realize there's no such thing as loss in the universe. That person is not lost. That consciousness is still there. That consciousness has always been there and will always be there. There is no beginning. There is no end. We always were and we always will be. What happened with that child is she lost this earthly life. That's all. She lost this body. She moved on. When you see something like that, you immediately love her, bless her, and release her. But you also have to love, bless, and release the person who did it. You have to do it both, you see. But please, yes, we have, because we're walking around in thought atmospheres, sometimes sadness comes up because we entered a thought atmosphere that we were not prepared to have. But get it out of your head that anything is lost in this universe. That is absolutely an impossibility. You cannot lose your life. You can lose your body. And you cannot lose anything because we all live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, and the mind of God knows exactly where everything is. That is why if you want to find something, all you say, I've misplaced it, it's missing right now, but I know it's coming back to me. If you say it's lost, it's gone forever. Because that's the word you're using. And the universe recognizes that and says, okay, it's lost. There's nothing lost in the universe. It's an impossibility for anything to be lost in the universe because we all live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. You don't use the word lost. You've misplaced something, or something is missing right now. And as soon as you change your viewpoint about that, the thing will appear. Have you ever been looking and looking and looking for something, and you think it's gone, and as soon as you relax and stop thinking about it, you see it right on the table? Because we do not see with our eyes. We see with our mind. And when we change our mind, We change what we see. So nothing can be lost in the universe. And sadness is going to come up. Don't watch the news, especially in the morning or late at night. Why would you want to start out your day like that?
I wasn't really even thinking about watching the news.
I always play classical music in the morning. To get myself ready for a marvelous experience, for a marvelous day. How many people have heard this expression? My father always used this, and I love it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be happy in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Anytime you have the word Lord, you change it to law. The law of attraction, you see. This is the day that the law of my mind is making. I shall rejoice and be happy in it. Because it's your mind that's creating your day. The weather doesn't do it. The traffic doesn't do it. Your mother-in-law doesn't do it. Your husband doesn't do it. The radio doesn't do it. You do it with your thinking. Remember, everything boils down to what are you thinking? What are you thinking? So get an image of yourself and a better image of yourself. Remember Henry David Thoreau said, what a man thinks about all day long, he becomes. So you have to say, what am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? Am I thinking about money? Am I thinking about wealth? Am I thinking, do you have $25,000 written all over your house? So that everywhere you look, you see $25,000? Well, I suggest you do that, my dear.
How come it's only 25?
Or more. Well, because that's...
The first 25,000 in making the first 25,000.
And because she's stretching her consciousness. And at the moment, that's a reasonable sum for her to accept. It always has to be reasonable, people. And that's a reasonable sum. And you can live with that, and I can live with it, and we can say, oh, that's nothing. You can do that, you see. And your mind says, oh, that's nothing. You can do that. Becomes reasonable. Now, you have to remind your mind that that's what you want. And you do that by seeing 25,000 everywhere. Or just 25. Or you write 25. Doodle 25 all day long. Everything. Just doodle it. Or just keep saying 25, 25, 25. And your mind will accept that. I know this all sounds airy-fairy sometimes. But this is absolutely how it works.
And focus.
That's your first million.
That's right.
What is this?
That's your first $1 million.
Wow. Thank you.
I know that these things work because I work them and I use them. See? So, I know that that this happens. I can give you example after example of how it all works. So, use this. But get this image of yourself. Excuse me. And hold that image. Till you become that image. Till you become that image. You have an image of yourself. And you're reaching that image. You have an ideal weight in mind. And you hold that image. Now, she does work to get there. But she has an image of who she is. Some people work out and they do all that, but they never have an image and they never lose weight. They never lose weight because they don't have an image. You have to be able to move in to your image. You see, you're making yourself. You're making your life. You see. And for years we've been told that it's outside of us somewhere and the control is outside of us somewhere. It's inside of us and we're the ones that are doing it. Because you've already been given every tool and every gift that you need. People are always thinking that they lack something. You lack nothing. And there is nothing that can be added to you. Because you already have it. Now, how do we know that some of that is true? or that all of that is true. On this plane of action, on this planet Earth, everything is here to sustain life, and nothing new has ever been added. Nothing new has ever been added. We're drinking the same water that the dinosaurs drank. Nothing is added. It's always complete. It's a closed system, and it's already made perfect, and it already has everything it needs to sustain itself. Therefore, you have everything to sustain yourself. And you have everything to make yourself thrive. But you have bought in to race mind or to other thoughts in your head which tell you that that is not true. And if you've been indoctrinated by most brand-named religions, they will tell you that that is not true. And although they have done many things, they have done a horrible disservice to most people. And the disservice that they have done is telling people that they're not worthy. And that God wants you now to perk up and be worthy. You're already perked up and you're already worthy. You came here completely worthy to have everything. You came here completely innocent, and you remain innocent. And you remain innocent. And that's what you have to know, so that you can have this connection, so that you can do with your life what you want to do. But you have to correct your thinking. And you can do that. You can do that. So you get an image of yourself, and you get a bigger, better image of yourself. And you hold that image. And then you go about moving into that image, moving into that image. I had a client who says to me, well, geez, I'd like to be able to dress differently. I think I don't dress well enough in this other thing. Well, I said, what do you think you're going to do about that? Well, I don't know. I said, don't you think it would behoove you to go out and buy some new clothes if you want to? You see, you always have to do something. You just can't say something and not move. You have to treat and move your feet. God helps those who help themselves. You have to do something. Because the law of the universe, which is immutable, and it happens to be the law of attraction, it happens to be everything about your class, the secret, and so forth, is the universe says nothing for nothing. You must always pay in the coin of the coin of the realm. You must always pay. And what does that mean? That means mentally we must build a mental equivalent. And then we must do something to move into that mental equivalent. We must do something about it. You can't say, I want to dress better, and then never go out and buy a new shirt or something. It's not going to work for you. It's not going to work.
Okay, so I went to this art art studio today, or frame place, and I took all these things that I needed framed.
Right.
And I had one of them, and I said, okay, one is going to be in the budget. It's going to be the one I can spend my money on right now. These other six are... I got the prices, and I said to her, I don't want them to do them right now. I need to know the prices so that I can do them in the future. Even though I wanted them all done right then, but I didn't choose to spend my money that way. So, did I move in the way you're supposed to move?
Yes.
Yeah.
You did move.
So then... Well, I did one, but I knew I was going to do one.
And now you have a target for the others.
Yep. So is that the same thing as a mental equivalent?
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Now I'll tell you about art. Sunday I was up in Thousand Oaks at a big art show up there. And I went with Rhoda and her husband. And they knew the artist. Her name was Marilyn Solomon. And I was looking at her thing. And she had a beautiful, she does batiks. She had a beautiful batik of Giverny, which is Monet's home. And I said to her, oh, have you been there? And she said, yes. I said, so have I. Isn't it beautiful? And I said, you have this oriental type thing. She said, oh, so many people say that. I said, well, so did he, because the Red Bridge is definitely oriental. And I said to her, you know, I have a Demetaeus cup, one of Monet's Demetaeus cups. I have it, and I bought it when I was in Gaborone. I said, I'm going to give it to you. I'll mail it to you. She said, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, listen, it's in a closet. I have tons of them because I used to collect them. And it's been in a closet for at least 15 years. You might as well have it. You'll enjoy it. And she said, well, I'll use it. I said, fine. I will mail that to you. She said to me, pick out one of the paintings that you like.
Wow. That's
jealous.
So I have it. I'll show it to you. It's hummingbirds. I love it.
Of course you do.
That's called prosperity and abundance. And we do prosperity, abundance, including money. But what I want you to always realize, that money is never the issue, and that money is always going to be a side effect of your consciousness. A side effect of your consciousness. And because, not only because I was open to give this gift, I also didn't say when she said, pick out something, I didn't say, oh no, I couldn't do it. I said, show me which ones I'll pick. You know? Because I know what? I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. So, when you know those things and you have that image of yourself, this is what how life opens to you. This is how abundance and prosperity opens to you. And people want to give you things. People want to give you things. And we're not taught that, are we?
No.
We're taught people want to hoard things. People aren't going to give you that, this, that, and the other. You'd be surprised the things that I have that people have given me. Come by my place one day, well, I point them out. I pointed out a lot of things to you, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, somebody gave me that. Aha, I have a big oriental rug in the living room. Somebody gave it to me.
You know what else is an adjustment to receiving is that I have had a history whereby you receive a gift and it comes with strings attached and it's not really a gift. It's an obligation.
Did this come from family?
Yeah.
Don't deal with family, please.
So, but lately, people have been giving me things and I've been delighted in receiving them.
Good.
And adjusting to the sensation that it comes, and when I feel desire to give, I'll do the same because
yes.
I don't expect anything back when I give
what?
Gold, for example.
What? Everything has to be in circulation. Why would I have this cup in a closet and never use it, hasn't seen the light of day, when here is a person that could use it? This is the same way with people who hoard money or hoard anything. You see, it does you no good whatsoever. Every time you give something away, you get more back. Every time. That's why I don't mind giving. I don't mind doing. Because I know it's going to come back to me. Not from that person, maybe. But from somebody else. It'll come right back to you. It'll come right back to you. I'm using the thing, I have $1,000. I give $1,000 away all the time. And every time I give $1,000 away, I wait to see where it's going to come, who's going to give it back to me. Now, it's never the person that I give it to, but it always comes back to me. It always comes back to me. Now, sometimes it takes 4-6 months, but I never think about it. I just know it's going to come back to me. And it always arrives at the right and perfect time. Boop, there it is. So, it's like a savings account. It's like, I don't know, but it just revolves. Just keeps coming right back to me.
Bank of karma.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Because you don't get attached to it, you put no strings to it, I never say to the person you have to pay it back, you have to do anything with it. And it comes back to me. And this has worked throughout my life. I've got, you know, my thing is I always go to the mailbox looking for checks. So far this week, I have received checks totaling $150. You see, that's just things come to you. But you have to build your container. You have to get that image of yourself. You have to know your worth and so forth. I think Susie Orman's doing a thing just for women on that. You have to know your worth. If you don't know your worth, which most women don't know their worth, the world is not going to pay you. The universe is not going to pay you for it. You must know first how much you're worth. And then the universe...
Worth meaning what dollar figure or worth meaning assets?
Everything. Your value as a human being. And what you're, the service that you're giving and everything else, you have to know what it's worth. Most people give themselves away. Most people give themselves away. Now the universe, if it frowned, would frown upon that. Because it has given you this wonderful gift and you're giving it away, not getting anything back for it. You see? Not getting an image of yourself, and you're worth that much. You see? You're worth that much. Everyone is worth much more than they think they are worth. Because everyone has so much knowledge inside of them and their own experiences inside of them. But they never think that that stuff is worth anything. That stuff is worth a small fortune, people. And once you realize that that's worth a small fortune, you charge more for your service. And you get more for it. But people think, oh, I don't know anything. I only know one thing. No. You must never say that. You must realize that you're learning all the time, that you're building knowledge all the time, and you're building that knowledge to what? You're building that knowledge so that finally you will find wisdom. So that you will find wisdom. Okay? That's how the whole thing works. But you keep an image always of yourself the way you want to be. Not the image that your parents gave to you. Not that image. You must build a new image of yourself. And when you build that new image, you will become that image. That is the way it works. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.